The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been more than a year and a half since Joe Biden took the oath of office, and as many of us predicted, the U.S.-Mexico border remains all but open. Hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants continue to pour into the United States every month, overwhelming border agents and leaving America vulnerable to national security threats and drug traffickers. In this special edition of Hold the Line, an update on chaos at America's southern border, we'll get into all of it. Welcome to this special edition of Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. The Biden border is the worst it probably has ever been in modern history of this nation, to be sure. Never before have we had so many illegal aliens from so many countries, by the way, from countries all over the world. We often think of illegal immigration as a problem of mostly our countries to the south, Mexico, Central America, South America. And certainly a lot of those countries are represented, and even the case of Central America, disproportionately so in the illegal migrants in recent years. But there are people showing up from Pakistan, from Thailand, from West Africa, from you name it, all over the world, coming into America illegally over the southern border because it is so easy. And you don't just have to take my word for it. I mean, look at the numbers. The numbers speak for themselves. This graph shows total border encounters between 2019 and 2022 by month. In red, you can see it's the highest number by far. Shows the highest number by far. I mean, it's getting worse, folks, okay? The border encounters have been going up and up and up, and this is because people know they'll come into the country illegally and they will be able to stay. Now, here's a graph that shows total single adults crossing the border by year. This year is more than the three previous years together. Look at this. 2019, it was 0.36 million, a few hundred thousand. 2020, it was 0.3 million, so 300,000. 2021, 1.2 million. 2022, 1.22 million. Okay, so by the end of this year, you're going to have more than likely the previous 3 years all put together. What's going on here, folks? What changed? All of a sudden, was there some big shift in transportation globally? No, as we know. This is because the Biden administration does not want to disincentivize illegal immigration. They would like the continuation of the de facto open border that we currently have. Now, this causes all kinds of problems. First of all, there's just the lawlessness of it. There's the enormous influx of drugs coming in, including fentanyl. Remember, we had over 100,000 overdoses last year in this country, people dead from drugs. And these drugs are overwhelmingly coming to the United States over the U.S.-Mexico border via the cartels. And there's just lawlessness and chaos going on. Meanwhile, FBI Director Wray is pointing out here that illegal immigrants coming from over 150 countries, and we don't know who they are, what they're doing here. It is a serious and significant security issue. Watch.
In one sector, the Del Rio sector, they reported encounters from people from 150-plus countries. In other words, it's not just a south of the border issue in terms of Mexico, Central America, and the like. This is an international human smuggling network. Would you agree with me?
I don't have the numbers like it sounds like you do, but I certainly know that it is an eclectic mix of nationalities, and the volume is just staggering.
And that's a public security threat. You agree with me?
To me, it represents a significant security issue and represents a wide array of criminal threats that flow out of it.
It is a significant security issue, he said. What about the men and women who are on our border trying to actually enforce the law? How do they feel about their mission set? Do they think the Biden administration is in any way supportive of them? Of course not. They don't want the Border Patrol to be able to execute on their mission. They want them to be overwhelmed. In fact, if you listen to the Democrats, they seem to think that a Border Patrol that is unable to prevent illegal entry, and there's hundreds of thousands of gotaways too, we don't even look at those numbers, but people that are just getting in the country free and clear, have no idea who they are, they're not even processed. But Democrats think that if we have Border Patrol focused on getting sandwiches and diapers and baby formula for illegals coming into the country, because that's what they do a lot of the time, somehow we're all safer and better off. This is the way it's supposed to be. Border Patrol isn't meant to keep our nation secure at the border. It is a welcoming committee for anybody who wants to violate our laws. Well, it is in fact now the case that some members of Border Patrol are stepping up and saying, this is nonsense. Watch this.
We don't give up. We stay focused. We continue to do the job and the mission that we signed up for. Right? We all signed up for. We all raised our hand.
Hard to say that. To defend the Constitution, not the
It's not hard to say them. It may be hard for you to say them. You're getting bogged down in the policies of the politics.
You can't even say illegal alien.
What's
happening?
You can't even say that.
That's why Chief Scott left.
You just said it!
For evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. That's exactly what's happening here. Good men are doing nothing. You're allowing illegal aliens to drop off communities.
For evil to triumph, good men do nothing. Border Patrol, speaking out here. Back in January, Border Patrol agents just saying, this is madness. Can't even say illegal alien under the directives from the White House in D.C. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. Now, some states have begun to take some action on this because they know the federal government under Biden has no interest in changing the situation. It is not a crisis to Joe Biden. In fact, it is an opportunity to the Democrats. They want to bring in as many people from the developing world, as many people who don't speak English, who are going to need substantial government assistance as possible through illegal means into the country. Forget about their illegality. Forget about the congressional statutes that they're violating by their very presence in this country in the hopes that they will become Democrat. Question of when the amnesty comes or when they have children here, as we know, then you have the anchor baby situation. They will raise those children likely to vote Democrat. That is the Democrat plan. They've stated this for many years. Greg Abbott in Texas and some other governors are deciding that this is crazy. Here he is announcing that, just to show people what the drain on resources can be, he has charter buses for illegal immigrants, sending them from the border to Washington, D.C. Watch.
To help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration, Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C. We are sending them to the United States Capitol, where the Biden administration will be able to more immediately address the needs of the people that they are allowing to come across our border.
And then back in April, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey announced that there was going to be an American Governor's Border Strike Force. Watch this.
Today we're announcing the American Governor's Border Strike Force to do what the Biden administration refuses to do. The numbers are staggering, and I want to say this is not an immigration crisis. This is a border security crisis. Immigration policy is set in Washington, D.C., and Joe Biden has let the whole world know that our border is open.
All right, we've got a great lineup of guests for you tonight to take us through the ongoing crisis at the border. Coming up next, the Center for Immigration Studies' Art Arthur explains how the Biden administration is not only failing to secure the border, but making the problems worse. Stay with us. A lot of companies promise that your privacy is guaranteed, but we know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without using any of the big tech platforms. Privacy is a big issue now. Without real security, people can read your emails, messages, even your bank information. Secure will never mine your data and never ask for your phone number. You can send emails to your doctor, banker, lawyer, or anyone else with total confidence you're not being spied on by your internet provider or big tech. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off.
And speaking of the border, is the border safe now? I was watching a news channel and they were talking about an invasion was happening and I got a little concerned.
Look, the border is secure. The border, we are working to make the border more secure. That has been a historic challenge.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas assuring Americans that the border is secure. Unfortunately, the numbers tell a different story. According to a report from Fox News, an average of 55,000 illegal immigrant gotaways have crossed the border in the U.S., but evaded capture since the start of fiscal year 2022. That amounts to more than 500,000 so far this year, already exceeding last year's total of just under 400,000. Despite the clear need for leadership on this issue, the Biden administration seems to be doing little, if anything, to stem the flow of immigrants illegally into the country, leaving border states like Texas and Arizona to fend for themselves. Joining me now is resident fellow in law and policy for the Center for Immigration Studies, Art Arthur. Art, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just start with this gotaway number. When they're talking about gotaways, that's just people who managed to free and clear get into the United States, and it's a 500,000 for the fiscal year? That feels like a lot.
Yeah, no, that's a huge number. Keep in mind that there were a lot of years between 2017 and 2019. We didn't get 500,000 aliens who were apprehended at the southwest border. And those gotaways are aliens who don't want to be caught. They don't want to turn themselves into Border Patrol and, you know, make fallacious claims for asylum. They want to evade Border Patrol, which means, Buck, those are the worst of the worst. The drug dealers, the terrorists, they could be a lot of people just coming for work. But we don't know why they're here, and we have to assume the worst.
And the reason the gotaway number is so large, is it fair to say it's in part because the Border Patrol is so stretched dealing with those who are surrendering under our increasingly, obviously, ridiculous asylum policy, which is being abused, and so they can't actually do the other part of the mission, which is stopping people from just going to the country and never surrendering?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. In fact, we know that at spots on along the Texas border, only about 30% of agents are on the line. I've been down there three times this year. And where I used to see Border Patrol vehicles on the street, down by the river all the time, there's no one. the cartels, the smugglers, they know that. So what they'll do is they'll send families and kids across. Border Patrol has to then respond. That creates gaps in the line that the drugs are moving through. Drug seizures are down both at the border and the ports this year. And that other gotaway criminals, who knows, are coming through those gaps in the wall that are created by the absence of Border Patrol.
One interesting news story about the border that just got out there recently is that the Biden administration is apparently going to close gaps in the border wall. It's from CNN. The Biden administration has authorized U.S. Customs and Border Protection to close gaps in a border wall in Arizona near the Morelos Dam in order to protect migrants from drowning and sustaining injuries while trying to cross the Colorado River into the United States. It seems to me like you're just having Democrats have to admit here, well, sometimes walls work. And in fact, walls work in general.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely the case there. That segment is known as the Yuma Gap. I was down there in March, and agents told me that they get so many people come through there that, you know, there's no agents to pick them up. So the aliens will, you know, stop and wait. When I was there, there were two folding chairs and some water for them to drink while they were waiting to get arrested. But, you know, if nobody shows up, they just take an Uber into Yuma. They get a meal, they get cleaned up, and then they turn themselves over to the Border Patrol. The reason the DHS asserts it is closing the wall is to save lives, migrants' lives and first responders, and it plainly will do that. But I think that the bigger reason is because Senator Mark Kelly, who's up for re-election in Arizona in November, it's, you know, facing strong headwinds because Joe Biden, especially his immigration policies, are unpopular in the Grand Canyon state. So, again, I'm grateful that they're doing it. Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, five times on Friday denied that they were closing the wall, and yet she still contended that they were doing it to save lives.
Here is Karine Jean-Pierre, speaking of the White House press secretary, on whether states should be involved in immigration issues, policing the border, et cetera. Watch this.
Governor Abbott in Texas issued an executive order today calling on the National Guard and officials there to apprehend undocumented immigrants. So I'm wondering if the administration is planning any legal response and if you'll prohibit the National Guard from participating.
So I'll say this, the immigration enforcement is a federal authority and states should not be mandating it, meddling in it.
Okay, so what is the legal reality here? What can states do? There has been some deployment of National Guard, for example, by Texas, the southern border. I hear about these state initiatives specifically in Texas and Arizona, obviously not in California, to do something about this. What can they do, Art? What's the truth about where the state's powers here stop and start?
Well, unfortunately, the states don't have the ability to deport any alien back to Mexico. They're wholly dependent upon DHS. They're wholly dependent on the Biden administration to do that. What they could do is what the Biden administration refuses to do, and that is to deter illegal migrants from the United States. In fact, back on May 1, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was asked on Fox News Sunday whether it was the objective of the Biden administration to limit the number of aliens entering illegally. And he said no. Their job was to ensure safe, orderly, and legal pathways for migrants to access our legal system, which means that the Biden administration doesn't want to deter anybody from entering illegally. They want to have as many foreign nationals as want to and who can get here apply for asylum in the United States.
Is there anything that you would advise the governors of Texas and Arizona, respectively, to do in order to try to help secure the border in some way?
I was actually embedded in August with Texas state troopers, and they're doing exactly what they need to do. They're looking for drug smugglers. They're looking for migrant smugglers. They're doing the job that Border Patrol agents normally do and wish they could be doing right now rather than warming baby bottles and filling out papers. So I would advise the governor of Arizona, Governor Ducey, to do exactly what his colleague in Texas is doing. Rush resources down to the border, try to help out Border Patrol, and keep putting pressure through the courts on the administration to actually enforce the law.
Also wanted to know, Art, what can you tell us about the status of interior enforcement of our immigration laws under the Biden administration?
So Judge Drew Tipton down in Texas in a case called Texas versus United States brought by Texas and Louisiana has vacated Alejandro Mayorkas's September 30 non-enforcement memo that basically called off the vast majority of enforcement in the United States. The Biden administration sought a stay of that from the Fifth Circuit, which denied it in a pretty sharply worded order, and then asked the Supreme Court to stay it. They refused to do that as well. But what the Supreme Court agreed to do was to hear the appeal from that decision, the Biden administration's appeal from that decision, bypassing the circuit court and hearing it directly. And that'll happen the first week in December. But for the time being, we've returned to the status quo prior to the Biden administration, or we should have, as it relates to immigration enforcement in the United States. Whether the Biden administration is actually letting that happen, however, is a completely different issue.
Art, appreciate the expertise as always. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Buck.
We'll be right back with more of this special edition of Hold the Line. Does the current nationwide shortage of infant formula have you asking, what's next? Did you know that nearly 100% of our nation's supply of antibiotics is produced outside the United States, mainly in China and India? If we can't control our own domestically produced baby formula, what about all the life-saving medications produced overseas? Many experts predict that if there were a supply chain disruption in the pharmaceutical industry, pharmacies could run out of antibiotics in a matter of weeks. Thankfully, there's a new service to help you prepare for such an event. Have you heard of the Jace case? It's a pack of five different courses of antibiotics that you can use to treat a long list of bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory infections, sinusitis, and skin infections. Every household needs at least one Jace case. Go to jacemedical.com/buck right now and use the code word BUCK10 for $10 off your Jace case. That's code word BUCK10 for $10 off at jacemedical.com/buck, jacemedical.com/buck. America's open borders have created a strain on our national security resources and social services, but it's also fueling a deadly drug epidemic, specifically the proliferation of fentanyl and other synthetic opioids. As long as the Biden administration continues to ignore the source of the drugs, the bodies will tragically pile up. In this special edition of the Buck Brief, I'll explain how open borders are feeding America's deadly drug habit. Look, it's very straightforward. And this actually brings in the Chinese Communist Party as well. The Chinese Communist Party sells precursor chemicals, although they've been trying to push back on this in recent years, to the Mexican drug cartels. The Mexican drug cartels create these opioids, which are highly addictive and can be very lethal, very easy to overdose on them. And they're making enormous profits, billions and billions of dollars from this, by moving those pills they're making. Remember, they don't have to grow them. It's not specific conditions outdoors. It's not like a coca plant or even heroin poppy. They can make this in vats in these facilities that the cartels run in Mexico and south of our border. And then they use our porous border to run these drugs over, whether it's in vehicles or on foot. They bring them over and they are poisoning the American people. Here's a graph that shows the rise in drug overdoses since 2011. Okay, this really puts it into real visual contrast for you. In 2021, the last year we have complete data, we had 107,000 drug overdoses. Over 71,000 of those were from fentanyl and synthetic opioids, up from 57,000 the year before in 2020. Okay, so over 107,000 drug overdoses. That's a stunning number. It's outrageous. This should be considered a true national security and national health emergency. But to deal with the emergency, to look at the source and try to stop it, you would have to deal with the porous southern border of the United States with Mexico. You would have to have more resources for Border Patrol, more drones doing surveillance, more assistance from National Guard. These are the maneuvers that you would take. These are the steps. If the real goal here was to bring down the flow of these illegal drugs in the United States. Here's a map that shows, by the way, how fentanyl actually flows into the U.S. High purity fentanyl is illicitly manufactured in China, as I said, sold through online markets to Mexican cartels. And then the fentanyl is mixed with other illicit drugs in Mexico, reducing the purity, and pressed into counterfeit prescription pills or mixed with heroin. It's then smuggled over the border and sold on the street. So that's also something that's very dangerous that the cartels do with these already dangerous substances. They mark them as though they are pharmaceutical-grade drugs because there are prescription opioids that people take for pain predominantly. And they're very powerful, and they have to be used very sparingly because they're so addictive. But people feel much safer taking a pill that is marked as though it comes from a major pharmaceutical company instead of something that was made in a vat by the Mexican drug cartels, who don't care how many people die from the product as long as the cash flow continues. And so that is the system. That is the reality of what's going on right now. Just last month, the DEA made the biggest fentanyl bust in history, seizing over 1 million pills in Inglewood, California. And the pills were linked to the Sinaloa cartel. Okay, the pills also had an estimated street value of $15 to $20 million. All right, so that's just giving you a sense of this. The biggest bust they've had in history, 1 million pills in Inglewood, California. Because the cartels know it is easy right now to move that kind of volume. They know that with the Biden administration not actually wanting to clamp down on the border, not willing to take the steps to make the entire border more secure, to tackle the lawlessness, and with all of Border Patrol assets increasingly doing the humanitarian mission of saving people from drowning or heat exposure who are trying to come over into the country illegally, dealing with people showing up with serious medical conditions, mothers with babies that are in desperate need of formula and food. And that's what Border Patrol is doing. Well, when they're doing those critical things, they can't, which is not really supposed to be their mission set, they can't actually be as focused on or anywhere near as capable at the interdiction mission of stopping the fentanyl from coming to the United States and poisoning our people. I mean, even the FBI director, Christopher Wray, back in June, said the drugs coming across our southern border are an epidemic. Watch.
Suffice to say that I totally agree that the drug issues related to the border are extremely significant, that fentanyl, the problem with fentanyl coming into this country from elsewhere, including from the southwest border, is something that I think can fairly be described as an epidemic.
An epidemic. Yeah, another epidemic, one that's taking lives of people all across the country. And this needs urgent government action. But the Democrats aren't focused in on this problem. Some state governors, fortunately, are stepping up. Governor Ron DeSantis, for example, says that the open border that allows for the massive importation of these drugs is devastating for his state of Florida. Watch.
Fentanyl overdoses in our state, we're seeing more than we ever have. Fentanyl overdoses account for almost 70% of all overdoses in the state of Florida. And since 2015, fentanyl-related overdose deaths have increased by almost 800%. This year, Brevard County Sheriff's Office with the Central Florida High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Team has seized 10 kilograms of fentanyl. 10 kilograms of fentanyl is enough to kill 5 million Floridians. So this is the same amount of fentanyl seized in this region during all of 2019. So don't let anybody tell you that that open border is not affecting our communities here in the state of Florida. It is having a devastating impact.
It's horrible what's going on. What's the Biden administration doing about this? It is worth asking that question. Well, the attitude of the Biden administration, as we've seen when it comes to drugs in general, is make it easier for people to do really dangerous illegal drugs. Don't let law enforcement crack down on this. Here's a man in California showing off a government drug kit, including heroin needles, meth, and crack pipes. Watch.
So every Tuesday and Friday in Hollywood, they have a Catholic church that gives this stuff out. This is where we're living at, y'all, and this is what the government's doing. Joe Biden said he spent $60 million on paraphernalia for drugs. And this is what it looks like. Says being alive. This is a meth pipe.
Yep.
Right here with this bubble thing. I guess you put the meth in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crack pipe.
Yep.
Okay. These are all instructions on how to overdose treatment and education. These are. This is the needle in here. I'm not going to open this. I'm scared.
That's for heroin.
Yes, for heroin. It has the alcohol.
That's
pads
a real
and stuff.
Needle.
It's a needle in there.
Oh my God.
And these things are like a black and mild filter that you put on the crack pipe so you don't think no one's saliva so you don't get sick.
Yeah. All right. Communities around the country are facing the consequences of the Biden administration's failure at the border. Nobody knows that better than the men and women of Border Patrol. When we come back, we'll speak to the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera, about what he's seeing on the ground. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. Built Bars are high protein, low carb, low calorie, low fat, and they taste amazing. When I first tried them, I was blown away. They're actually good for you. Built Bars are gluten-free and keto-friendly, and they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate, and they have incredible flavors like mint brownie, coconut, salted caramel, cookies and cream, churro, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, banana cream pie. The list goes on. The best part, Built Bars taste better than candy bars. I'm telling you, they're amazing. Try a mixed box so you can see the full variety. They're delicious, though, all of them, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Go to Built.com. When you use my promo code BUCK15, you'll get 15% off your order. Built.com, promo code BUCK15.
They crossed over with a group of over 100 migrants.
Póngase aquí en la fila, por favor.
Just a snapshot of the record high numbers agents are seeing in this area outside of Eagle Pass.
This is not normal traffic for the Del Rio sector. It's something that this sector has never seen before.
Del Rio Sector Border Patrol Chief Jason Owen says some groups are exceeding 500.
Not since the Haitian migration in September have we seen those type of daily numbers. We don't have the organic resources available to us right now to deal with the flow that we're seeing.
Grim assessment from U.S. Customs and Border Protection Chief Jason Owens. Despite CBP's pleas for additional resources, the Biden administration has provided little support for agents who are clearly overwhelmed by the volume of illegal immigrants crossing over the southern border. Meanwhile, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas appears to be in complete denial about the crisis. Take a look.
Just a simple question. Do you think it's working?
I think that we are doing a good job. We need to do better.
Right. Joining me now, Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera. Chris, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of talk back in June about the end of Title 42 and how that could lead to a surge in migrants. First off, where are we with regard to Title 42? And in terms of the surge over the summer, what have the numbers shown us?
Yeah, you know, the numbers are up. I don't have them in front of me. I know they're continuing to climb. I think we're hitting record numbers this month. I know we did last month. I have no idea what Mr. Mayorkas is talking about. Apparently, he doesn't either. You know, I think he needs to spend a little bit of time down here on the border and figure out what his job is before he can do a better job.
He did admit, this was interesting, that CBP morale is down. Watch this.
So I will tell you the frustration of the individuals, you know, with the badges on the ground and the holstered firearms is earned.
Yeah.
We need to be very clear about that. And our Border Patrol agents, you know, their morale is down, and I understand why.
Okay. He doesn't really say why. Why is morale down?
Well, I think morale is down because who we have in that position. I mean, he's not doing his job. He's not letting us do our job. I think he has a lot of explaining to do, especially to his agents and CBP officers, you know, what he's going to do to fix it and actually put a plan in place and actually fix it instead of just towing the company line.
Is it more difficult, would you say, to recruit for Border Patrol these days? You know, we often see these stories, Chris, about in the aftermath of the defund the police movement, as well as a spike in violent crime in a lot of cities from these en masse incarceration policies, it's harder to get the police force, say, in New York City. They haven't gotten anywhere near the recruits they want. Is Border Patrol facing any of those similar issues or retention issues with keeping people on the job as a result of all this?
Most definitely. I think everywhere in law enforcement is feeling the strain. And with Border Patrol, I mean, it's hard to get recruits normally when we're allowed to do our job. And when we're not allowed to do our job, it's almost impossible. We're losing people faster than we can hire. When agents are eligible for retirement, they're gone. The very first available minute that they're able, they're gone. They're out the door, whether to just retire or for greener pastures. We have young agents that are applying to different agencies or leaving law enforcement altogether based on what's going on right now.
What do you make of the Biden administration's recent decision to finish some portions of the border wall in Arizona, Chris?
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing that he's finally getting around to doing that. But we've wasted, what, almost 2 years by not doing anything. There's areas here in our local area of responsibility where we have big gaps in the walls, big holes in the wall. You know, it's about time he did something, but I think he's behind the eight ball on this. He's way too far behind. You know, he's been paying people to not work and finish those walls, and now he wants to get it done. And obviously it's a political stunt. Who knows if he'll follow through with it. He hasn't kept his word on pretty much anything so far.
There's also a new report at the Daily Caller that shows the number of illegal immigrants rescued by Border Patrol has soared to record highs. From the piece, there were 18,881 illegal aliens rescued and 650 illegal alien deaths between October 2021 and July, according to data the Daily Caller News Foundation obtained from a DHS source. Are you seeing that in your sector? Are there far more rescues? I mean, just because of the volume of people, but also it seems there's an increased desperation to get in now while the policies are as lax as they are.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing more people come, and obviously with more people, there are going to be more people that succumb to illness and injury, whether it be snake bites, dehydration, drownings, and the drownings are not just in the river itself. There's canals that they cross and, you know, small ponds, and we're seeing a big uptick in deaths of migrants that, you know, not necessarily in custody, but that we've come across that have already expired in the brush. Not to mention the work our agents and our EMTs do rescuing people.
And what can you tell us about cartel activity and the financial benefit from to the cartels from all of this human trafficking and drug smuggling that's going on?
You know, with the as far as the cartel goes, I mean, for them, business is good. Business is booming right now. Our drug seizures aren't nearly what they should be because we're busy babysitting. So they know that if they have high value people that they need to move, they know where and when to do it because we're not out there in the field. We're stretched thin all throughout the United States, and they're taking advantage. And quite frankly, they're doing a good job at it.
And if you were sitting in a room with the DHS Chief Mayorkas and President Biden, and they asked you, they said, you know, you're a career Border Patrol agent, you understand this world, you understand this mission set, what could they do to make your job and the job of the men and women who are part of Border Patrol, who make up Border Patrol, what could they do to improve things? Because it doesn't feel like there's much of that going on.
Yeah, if you want to deter people from coming, there's one tried and true method, and it's a mandatory detention, mandatory removal. Once people know that the spigot is closed, that they're not going to be able just to come through and flood in the United States, once they realize there will be consequences to their actions, it'll stop. Unfortunately, I think these guys just, for whatever political aspirations that they have, they don't want it to stop.
It's a remarkable set of circumstances. Is this the worst the border has ever been from a law and order perspective, Chris, in your career?
In my 20-plus years, it's the worst I've seen it. I'd venture to say it is probably the worst it's ever been. Unfortunately, I don't think we hit the high water mark yet. I think we still got a little bit left to go.
Chris, appreciate you bringing your expertise. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of this special edition of Hold the Line. Right now, I want to talk to the owners of timeshares, especially those who are upset that their yearly dues have nearly doubled. In most cases, your timeshares will be passed from your generation to the next with fees included. It's crazy that the annual fees never stop even after you quit using your property. Well, I do have a solution. Get some peace of mind for my friends at Lone Star Transfer. This family-owned business has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and has over 16,000 satisfied customers. Lone Star has over 15 years of experience in the timeshare disposal business and a 99% success rate. Say goodbye to those fees. With customer service like Lone Star's, they treat you as if you're a member of their family. They will personally make your experience a pleasant one. Lone Star Transfer guarantees the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. Give Lone Star Transfer a call for a free, no-obligation consultation. 844-284-4739. That's 844-284-4739 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. In addition to the humanitarian concerns that arise from millions of illegal immigrants entering the U.S., America's open southern border is also a major national security issue. The increased activities of Mexico's drug cartels are a major concern, and Customs and Border Protection report that 42 suspected terrorists were encountered at the American border last year. So just how much of a risk is the Biden administration putting us in with its policies? Here to help answer that question, senior national security fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies and author of America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration, Todd Bensman. Todd, thanks so much.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Todd, let's start with the cartels. What kind of activity are we seeing with the border de facto open right now, which is the truth?
Well, the three or four major cartels on the that control the plazas or the Mexican side, the major crossing areas, are just cashing in. Nobody knows how much it is. It's almost impossible to tell. But there is no doubt but that the revenue center has shifted from drugs to human beings in especially southern Texas, and it's in the billions and billions of dollars. If you just do the math, you know, $2,500 for a Central American, you know, $7,000 for a Chinese, $10,000 for somebody from the Middle East, and thousands, the numbers are, it's going to be in the billions of dollars for the cartels. And, you know, that has a terribly destabilizing long-term impact on the Mexican state. And then we also have, you know, good old-fashioned drug trafficking, fentanyl and cocaine and marijuana, that we believe is coming over in higher volumes now than ever before because Border Patrol agents are off the line doing paperwork and processing these family units that are being allowed in by the Biden administration, is taking up all their time. They're off the line. Not very many, not much of a defense there anymore. And the cartels are taking huge advantage of this, and they're using tactics. For example, they're doing what we call bonsai runs, where they'll take, you know, 100 or 200 immigrants, and they'll push them over all at once. And every Border Patrol agent in for 40 miles has to come in to process them. And they're moving the cocaine through, that sort of thing.
Also on the issue of cartel violence, is there a lot of that happening? I mean, I remember reading about a decade ago about what felt like unimaginable violence going on the Mexican side. Is that happening? We're not hearing about it. And also, is there any violence that's spilling over from the cartels into border states?
Well, yes. There are always killings and murders on our side. There are vengeance killings, and there is violence and intimidation that happens all the time on the Mexican side. I would not say that it's worse than the period that you're talking about, 2006 to 2009, saw maybe 200,000 Mexicans killed, because people are fat and happy right now. There is enough to go around for everybody.
Meaning the cartels, like they're making so much money, they're not even spending the time fighting wars against themselves and the government that they used to.
Oh, absolutely. And then on top of that, you have a central government, Obrador, whose mantra about hugs, not bullets, which is official government policy of Mexico, so the federales and the military are leaving them alone. Everybody's getting rich. And when the central government is not running raids and putting pressure, they're not pushing back and fighting back and battling each other. So it kind of goes like that. It's not like it was in 2006 to 2009.
What can you tell us about the 42 suspected terrorists who were encountered in 2021 at the border?
Right. Well, when you have millions of people hitting the border like you have now, our normal processes, our systems for regulating and bringing people in are just off the rails. Nothing is normal now. Everything is stopped or warped or halted or, you know, messed up. Nothing's working in the right way. And so we have processes in place to accept migrants who are on the federal FBI terror watch list. Many cross the border who are already on that watch list. And when we run their names, we're supposed to do A, B, C, and D with them. But there's evidence that we're not doing those things under this crisis. And a good example would be the Venezuelan, Lebanon-born Venezuela, who swam over from Matamoros late last year. They ran him on the watch. He was on the watch list. He was considered substantial risk and a high derogatory intelligence, substantial derogatory intelligence on him. And he was ordered to let him go, and they freed him. Normally, they would interrogate the heck out of somebody like that, keep him in custody, and then deport him back to wherever he came from or wherever they could. And ICE headquarters ordered him released. Why? Because he was overweight and at risk of catching COVID and detention. And we don't do detention anymore in America. So that guy's running around free in Detroit pursuing an asylum claim.
There was also a plot, as I understand it, Todd, to smuggle jihadis over the border that was foiled in May. This is from the BBC. An Islamic State sympathizer planned to murder former U.S. President George W. Bush, but the plot was discovered by the FBI, according to U.S. authorities. The suspect, a resident of Ohio, allegedly sought to have Iraqi operatives smuggled into the U.S. from Mexico for this operation.
That's right. Now, that was an FBI sting operation, but the operatives that he was planning to bring over were real. And the Qatar-based mastermind of the operation was real, too. So this was a real operation. They were going to murder George Bush. They were going to they had some other plans and attacks as well. But what this shows us is that the bad guys are very well aware that the border is in utter chaos. They know it, and they are planning to use it. We know that because of this one bad guy. If one bad guy and all of his friends from here to Qatar know about this, you can pretty much bet that everybody else in the jihadi world knows about it as well.
Big, big risks here. Todd, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate the expertise.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
That's all the time we have for this special edition of Hold the Line. I'd like to thank my guests, Art Arthur, Chris Cabrera, and Todd Bensman for joining us. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number two, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.